Welcome once again to our midweek Bible study and our ongoing series, Living by Faith. This is lesson 3, and in this lesson we'll be discussing faith, the substance. Before we get into the word, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Trust you, Holy Spirit, for revelation. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may really hear and grasp what your word has to teach us. We pray that in the process, this wonderful substance called faith will grow inside of us and become reality in our daily lives. This is our prayer in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Last lesson, we concluded with the fact that faith is a substance. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we're planning in the course of this lesson to discuss this in more detail. The challenge is that this is not a substance that is strictly material. It's a heavenly substance. And the great revelation to pray for from a human perspective is this understanding that those things that can't be seen are not real. The truth is, the spiritual world is far more real than the material world. Hebrews 11 verse 1 goes on in verse 3 to say that by faith the worlds were formed, so that things that can be seen were made of things that cannot be seen. Because you cannot see something does not mean that it is not there. And that is the case with faith. Faith is a heavenly substance, a spiritual materiality. And as we're going to see in the Word of God, this fact is enforced time and time again. Let's look at an instance where something that cannot be seen manifest. We speak now of the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5, 28, verse 30. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. We've been here before. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now listen to this. And Yeshua, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Do you see that? He felt this virtue. That word virtue is the Greek word dunamis, most often translated as power. He felt this power go out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, could you see that power going out of him? Was it materially evident? Well, the consequences were, but the point is, there was a materiality, I can call it that, that was spiritual, that was transferred as a result of her faith. Power has gone out of me. Let's go to Luke 6, verse 19. Very similar in a sense. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there was virtue, that same word, power, going out of him. There went virtue out of him and healed them all. In the church today, when we see this happening, the normal term that is used is the anointing. There is a close tie-up between faith and the anointing, but this is a subject on its own. But suffice to say, for our purposes here, when real faith is in evidence, we will sense the presence of the living God and we will be aware of his anointing. But let's return to the subject of faith, the substance. Let's look at a few other scriptures which clearly demonstrate that faith is a substance that is quantifiable. What does that mean? Quantifiable means it can be measured. You have a full cup of water. The water is quantifiable. Half a cup, a full cup. Do you understand? Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Then it says, for all men have not faith. You see that? Not everybody has got faith. Now, it's quite possible to see that, you see, this faith was there at one stage, but as the Bible describes, they become shipwrecked in their faith. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Do you see that? According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So here the word mentions a measure of faith, something that can be measured, a small measure, you see. It speaks about being given by God a measure of faith, something to work with, in other words. All right? So it's possible to have a measure of faith. Now, you see, that measure of faith can be great or it can be small. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you see that? The Lord is speaking about people who are worried about the future, worried about what they're going to wear, etc., etc., and he describes them as people with little faith. Once again, faith is measured. On this occasion, it's a small measure, a little faith. You see that? The Bible also mentions a proportion of faith. Proportion speaks of one measure related to another. You see? Proportion, proportionally. We see in Romans 12, verse 6, speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to what? The proportion of faith. In other words, if you and I have great faith, we can produce great prophecies, you see. If we're just stepping out in this process, our faith is small, maybe our prophecies are more limited, you see. We prophesy, we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, according to the proportion of faith that we have. Once again, the point being that faith is quantifiable. Faith is a substance. Let's then go to another scripture which mentions both weak and strong faith. You see, you can have weak faith or you can have strong faith. You can have a weak cup of tea or a strong cup of tea. There's nothing worse than a weak cup of tea, by the way. But the point is, tea is a substance, and that substance can be, in one occasion, weak, on another occasion, strong. Let's look at Romans 4, 19 and 20. And being not weak in faith, this is Abraham speaking about, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can you see that? Being strong in faith. So you can be both weak in faith and strong in faith. Faith, once again, being a substance. It also speaks in the Bible about being rich in faith. Let's look at James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? See that? Rich in faith. We speak of a territory that is rich in mineral wealth, for example. What does that mean? There are lots of minerals, you see. There's a great deal of the precious minerals, which makes that country rich in minerals or rich in water. Or rich in fertile soil. You see, somebody can be rich in their giftings, for example. We're talking about rich as opposed to poor, but it speaks about quantity. Quantity and quality, perhaps. Once again, faith, we can be rich in faith, which means, by implication, we can also be poor in faith. The point is, faith is a substance. All right, then it goes on to say in the Bible, we can have great faith. Let's look at Matthew 8, verse 10. This is the situation with this centurion. Remember the story. Comes to the Lord, he says, I've got a sick servant. Quite prepared to come immediately. The centurion says, no, don't come. It's unnecessary. All you have to do is give the word. You see that? Here we have somebody who's not a child of Israel, you see, understanding authority. Having the faith to realize that if this man speaks the word, it's done. It's a done deal. You see, what did the Lord turn around and say? When Yeshua heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I've not found so great faith. See that? Great faith. No, not in Israel. Isn't that awesome? Great faith, you see? Great faith as opposed to little faith. Yet seen amongst the children of Israel, who should have had great faith because of their training and knowledge, etc., lacking in faith. And here this centurion out of the blue comes and demonstrates great faith, a lot of faith. Once again, faith, a substance. Do you see that? Faith, a substance. So important to grasp this. Let's go to Acts 6 verse 5. This is the story of the new church that emerges. And there was that issue of the distribution of food. And then the apostle said, appoint people for this task. One of the people that was appointed was Stephen. This is the response of the people when this decision is made, Acts 6 verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Do you see that? A man full of faith. They recognized that this man was full of the substance called faith. You see? And then it goes on, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And they mention other people there. Can you see that? If you can be full of faith, what does that imply? You can also be empty. Am I right? Your car can be full of petrol, but sad to say, it can also be very empty. Once again, the whole point is faith, the quantifiable substance. Acts 6 verse 8, once again it speaks of Stephen, full of faith and power, doing great miracles, signs and wonders among the people. Now apart from faith being quantifiable, we see other qualities about faith that indicate it is a substance. And once again, it's important to realize that the word speaks about this if we look carefully. Faith is a substance, and it's so important to grasp this, is a substance that can be consumed. A substance that can be used up. Let's go back to the illustration of petrol again. Full tank, empty tank. Fact of the matter, you might have a full tank, but if you drive all around town, what's going to happen? That tank is slowly but surely going to become empty, you see, because the substance of fuel is being burnt up. The classic example of this in the Bible is the story of Elijah. You can read the story for yourselves in 1 Kings 18, 37 to 40. All right, 1 Kings 18, 37 to 40. Now, we have the case where Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You know the story. The fire comes down. When Elijah prays, people are manifestly aware that God is on his side. He uses that moment of great authority to execute all the prophets of Baal. All right? Execute a whole multitude of prophets. And this can be seen as an awesome demonstration of faith. Amen. However, we turn to 1 Kings 19, 1-4, and this is how it goes. After this amazing demonstration of faith and power, Ahab, that's the king, goes and tells his wife, Jezebel, all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. And when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life. All right, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Now listen to this. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Good grief. Here's a man that challenged the prophets of Baal, turned the course of Israel. A few hours later, contemplating suicide. All because of the statement of one wicked woman. Now, the question is this the same man? The man who challenged the prophets of Baal is now running away for his life from a woman. Well, to understand it, what we've got to realize, Elijah was prepared for that great moment. Many years in the wilderness, 3.5 actually. His faith growing and growing by the day in those harsh conditions. Then came the moment where all that faith was used up. But you see, that's the point. That mighty burst of faith was all used up. You could consider an athlete training and training and training, and he becomes very fit and very strong. And then he runs a marathon. What is his physical condition after he has run that great race? Very weak. A pushover, in a sense. Why? Well, in the course of the use of his strength, it got burnt up, you see. That energy got burnt up. Not that it won't replenish, but it was burnt up. You see, faith is something that can be consumed. We need to realize this. The truth of the matter is, if you understand it, as Christians, our faith is being burnt off every day without us realizing it. And if we don't replenish it, which we're going to learn how to do, we actually backslide. And that's the case of so many people. But we'll get there. Another quality that shows us that faith is a substance is the fact that from the Word of God, it can be mixed. It can be combined. We think of mixing flour and water, for example, to make bread or whatever. You see, you mix two substances together. You can't mix something and nothing. It's not a mix. It's just one thing that stays on its own. It can be mixed, you see, because you've got two substances. Let's read Hebrews 4 verse 2 in this regard. Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you see that? Not being mixed with faith. This often happens. We have two people sitting next to each other in a church service. The same message is heard by both. The one doesn't benefit a bit. Maybe because he takes the opportunity to get some sleep, you see. The other person is listening intently, believing the words that come. He grows. Why? He's taking that word and he's mixing it with the substance of faith. Can you see that? Mixing it with the substance of faith. You can only mix a substance with a substance. Once again, demonstrating that faith, being mixed with the word, yet again, is a spiritual substance. Also find in the word mention of the fact that faith can be added to. You can't add to something that isn't there. Amen. You can't. You can only add to something that you already have. If you have money in your purse or your wallet, you get some other money, you add it to. You see, you add it to. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. See, add to it virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and it goes on. Don't you see that? Faith can be added to, because faith is a substance. Now, let me just say something else about faith, the substance. Not only is it a substance, it's an extremely valuable substance. If you and I understand what faith is about and fully understand what faith can do, we'll realize that it is very, very valuable. And can I say it? It seems in our society, this valuable commodity is becoming more and more rare. But the Word of God says that faith is much, much more valuable than gold. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 verse 7. You'll also find the same reference in 2 Peter 1 verse 1. But let's just read 1 Peter 1 verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua the Anointed. Can you see that? Faith, the substance, is not just a common garden substance, it's an extremely valuable substance. All right, but it is a substance more valuable than gold, which is, as we all know, a material substance. The truth of the matter is that real faith can, if we understand it correctly, result in us having much gold. That's why it's more valuable. But we get there. The seventh thing that we discover from the Word, that faith is also a substance which is holy. What we need to understand by the term holy is that it is set apart for a purpose. That's what the meaning of that word holy is, set apart for a purpose. You can only set apart something if it is a thing. Faith is a thing, substance, you see, and it is set apart. Jude 1 verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You see that? Building yourselves up on your most holy, your most set apart faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, faith is a substance which has a certain quality. This quality being separateness. Set apart for a purpose. The next thing we learn from the Word is that faith is a substance that is extremely powerful. It's the most powerful force in the universe, because by it God created the universe. Let's just have a look at 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Do you see that? The substance of faith, just to use an analogy, it's almost like the Superman's use of kryptonite. It can overcome, you see. It's infallible. But this is real. It's not a fiction of the imagination. All right? Faith is extremely powerful. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even, notice, our faith. Our faith. Something we can have as people. Closely related to that, we see also that faith is eternal. Faith never disappears. It's always there, because it is a heavenly materiality. It is also outside time. 1 Corinthians 13:13, speaking about three qualities that abide, you see, that go on forever. And those three qualities, we know the scripture well, are faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Please note that love and faith are not the same thing. They are related. Yet all the love in the world will not achieve that which faith was designed to achieve. The next thing we need to learn about faith is that this substance can be stored. All right? Just like energy can be stored in a battery. Faith can be stored, and it can even be transported by some earthly materiality, by connection with earthly things. Let's look at two scriptures that support this point of view. 2 Kings 13:20-21. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the men into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Isn't that amazing? The man was dead, yet his bones retained the anointing, the heavenly materiality of faith in his bones. That tie-up between the anointing and faith. Elisha, the great man of faith, his bones were saturated with the anointing, so that even though he was dead, there was power enough to raise somebody else from the dead. You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. Acts 19:11-20. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Do you see that? Materials that had been close to Paul's body as he was working went. They carried heavenly materiality, which was able to heal and deliver. So we see that faith can do that. We see that faith was transported through materials that had touched Paul's body. Now, be this as it may, one of the most important points that we need to grasp about this faith substance is the fact that this substance can grow. So important to understand that this substance can grow. We've read about how some people had small faith, others had big faith. The point to grasp is that faith has the capacity to grow. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Here we see Paul recognizing that the church at Thessalonica, people's faith was growing exceedingly. He noticed it. He noticed it. He saw it. It was evident. They started out with a measure of faith, but over a period of time, he could see that their faith in Almighty God had grown. Can you see that? Faith, the substance, has the capacity to increase. Luke 17:5, you find the apostle saying to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:15. It says there, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, you see that? That we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Speaking about the time when the faith that they have is increased. You see that? One last scripture. Let's go to Romans 10:17. There it speaks about faith coming. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see that? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that word translated cometh is a very interesting Greek word. It's actually assumed in the sentence. It's not even written there. But the word assumed, when your faith, and then it just leaves a blank, by hearing. The word is implied. And the word is, in the Greek, Erchamai, which in the Strong's Concordance is referred to as to come or go in a great variety of applications. The great understanding from other renditionings of this word and the context is that this Erchamai means something which appears not to be there, and then after a period of time, it does appear. It grows, you see. And it's a very interesting word because it implies that what doesn't seem to be there, after a season of activity, it suddenly appears. One example of this is when a town council is called to convene, and then it erchamais. If you understand it, you have people that are part of this town council doing their daily work throughout the city. The word goes out, and then from all these people, the hustle and bustle of the city, these people emerge as the town council. They erchamai. Another good example is gold plating. For those who know about this process, the two electrodes are put in a solution with gold in it, and the one electrode has the ring or the ornament that needs to be gold plated, and a current is put through this whole system. You look at that electrode, that ring, it's just maybe a normal metal ring. You see nothing. Leave it overnight, what's happening? Those particles are moving because of the current towards that electrode, the process of electrolysis. In the morning, what do you have? A gold ring has erchamai. Can you see that? Erchamai. The substance of faith is very much like that. And there's a whole lot of things you and I can do, because obviously the question is, how can you and I have great faith as opposed to little faith? How can we get this faith substance in our lives to grow? And we're going to learn about that in more detail in the lessons that follow. But before we go there, another fact that we have to know concerning it, and we'll discuss this in our fourth lesson. May you be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.